This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
Asia Pacific Currents.
News and labour issues from the Asia Pacific region.
We strongly condemn the police that arrest the protesters.
Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock.
On Community Radio 3CR.
Workers of the world should unite to fight this greedy capitalist.
Brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links.
Good morning, listeners, and welcome to another program of Asia Pacific Currents brought to you every week by Australia Asia Workerlings. My name is Pierre Morrow.
I'm Clancy Moore.
And it's a nice morning, and a special hello to both Diana and Giselle, our other panel members who are both sick today. So it must be the cold weather, Clancy. And Asia Pacific Currents is brought to you by Australia Asia Worker Links every week. And if you want to contact us, you can give us a ring on 9663 7277. If you're in Victoria, you can go to our website www.aawl.org.au. And on today's program, we've got a full complement of news stories from around the region. Lots happening. And in the second half, we'll be talking to a regular talent, Nick McClellan, who is a long-time activist in the region of the Pacific, and he was actually, he's probably his best claim to fame is that he was one of the original crew that started Asia Pacific Currents 27 years ago. So he's certainly been around a long time. But we'll be talking about the issue of Fiji and about the anti-union decree that the Fijian military government has actually put in. So we'll see what that means. But they'll be in the second half of the program, probably around 9:15 here on 3CR Radio. And we'll go straight to the news items. Pardon all the paper shuffling, but like I said, we've got a full complement, and Clancy's there, is stretching, getting his vocal cords right. But I'll start off, the first one we'll start off in West Asia, where obviously the uprising in Syria is continuing. And look, I won't mention much, but there's continual general strikes, unfortunately lots of killings by the government, but a lot of resistance. And there's a link on AWL website if you want more information. But what I want to talk about from West Asia is about Palestine and the worldwide movement for supporting the right of Palestine to declare independence at the UN in September is growing. And one of the big movements from Palestine is the boycott, disinvestment, sanction movement, and the movement for freedom, justice, and equality. The boycott, disinvestment, and sanction national committee is composed by all the major civil society and trade union groups in Palestine, and what they issued a statement recently. They said that it is the right held by all Palestinians, irrespective of their current location, by virtue of international law, to be able to the right of self-determination, and that means the right to declare independence for its lands. So that's what's happening in September at the UN. It's a worldwide movement, and certainly we'll keep abreast for it.
Thanks, Pierre. Our second story today comes from Rajasthan, where more than 100 workers who had earlier worked in asbestos mines are being diagnosed with asbestosis. This has come to light after 250 workers were examined during a recent medical campaign organised by the Mine Labour Protection Organisation. Now, there are thousands of asbestos mine workers working in the region, although it's been more than 15 years since the mine stopped. However, asbestosis continues to kill people who worked in these mines previously. Now, asbestos mining has been banned in Rajasthan for a long time, And interestingly, this comes at a time where in New South Wales, the campaign for asbestosis sufferers is still going on, and we still know that there are global campaigns to fight the effects of asbestosis, and unfortunately, our friends in Canada are still continuing to sell asbestos to developing countries like Indonesia and Laos and Cambodia.
That's right. You're totally correct there, Clancy, and it just shows how long the after effects of asbestos do remain around. So we do wish we send our best regards to our comrades in India, and hopefully you can get some health care. But the next item, we go to Malaysia, and we're talking about the case of Charles Hector, who is a human rights defender, an activist and a journalist. This is a case that's been going on all year. Basically, what Charles Hector did was he wrote a piece about looking at the conditions of 31 migrant Burmese workers in Malaysia who were working for Asahi Kosei, who was a subsidiary of Hitachi, an electronic component in factory. What then happened after the publication of his article, basically detailing how badly these migrant workers were treated, Hitachi stepped on in a defamation suit of close to €3 million. So they're basically trying to bankrupt him and put him in jail. So it is quite a clear case of using defamation law to try and stop the workers to protest and organise against the conditions. Not only that, now these migrant workers are facing deportation from Malaysia, so the Hector would lose the main people involved in this issue, and there are steps to try and actually involve these migrant workers in the civil lawsuit to make sure they remain in Malaysia, at least during the trial. There's international solidarity appeal going on. You can go to AAWO website, and there's a link there on the front page.
Our next story takes us to China, where a wave of protest action by taxi drivers has taken the country by storm. The at times violent strike by thousands of taxi drivers in Hangzhou and a smaller protest by drivers at one company in Shanghai on August 1st are the latest in a series of strikes and go-slows, pardon the pun, by cab drivers in China this year. Cab drivers are angry at rising fuel prices, increased charges and restrictions imposed by cab companies, and a lack of effective government regulation. This recent bout of strikes follows on strikes that took place in Shenzhou in June and in Shanghui in May. Also in April in Fushan, there was 150 drivers who went on strike. And then back in March in Langzhou, there was another big strike of cab drivers. Interestingly enough, the kind of organising force behind these unionists has got a digital map online, which you can actually track the various strike locations throughout China. You can find that link by going to www.clb.org.hk. So that's www.clb.org.hk and follow the links through.
All right, that's a very interesting thing to do to be able to show that. I think we've actually got a link on the AWL page as well, so that's easy to get. That'll be very interesting to see. And I've got another story from China. This concerns railway workers in Changsha, where several hundred railway workers from the Suzhou depot in Hunan staged a mass protest earlier this month at the province's main railway station in Changsha over long-standing grievances at the railway company's staff deployment system. This is the latest in another series of strikes by Chinese workers, but the first one by railway workers. From the reports that we have, the strike was lasted for a day. It was mediated once the government leaders, the government officials said that we're going to look at the issues and resolve them. The driver's main complaint related to the shift system and overtime payments. It seems that on average a driver makes 10 to 13 round trips each month and earn between 4 to 5,000 yuan per month. But there was no clearly stated overtime system, which is actually a big issue in China. One driver was reported saying that he did excessive overtime and could not get enough sleep between shifts, leading to fatigue and putting the safe operation of trains at risk. Now, Clancy, one would hope that train drivers would not fall asleep while driving the train.
You'd hope so.
So we wish our comrades in China all the best.
Now, going to Korea, where the ongoing campaign by unionists around the world, including AWL, to free the two Korean unionists, Hang Sang-kyun and Kim Hook, who have been involved in the Samsung Motor Company dispute, which Asia Pacific Currents has reported on for numerous months. Just to refresh our listeners' memory, after 2008, the Korean government and industry and business groups really cracked down on workers, unleashing a wave of restructuring and reforms targeting all sectors of the workforce. Samsung Motor Company stood up to these changes in policy and staged a heroic 2.5-month strike, which they were unfortunately defeated. After this strike action, many unionists were in prison, and unfortunately, Hang Sang-kyu and Kim Hook still remain in jail. Accordingly, the Korean Metalworkers Union is organising a campaign to release these two unionists on August 15th, which coincides with the Korean Independence Day. Listeners can send letters to inter@metal.nodong.org. That's inter@metal.nodong.org.
That's right, and that's Monday, Clancy, and I have to say I haven't heard any updates on that, so we'll have to really push that. And still staying on South Korea, where Korean Migrant Trade Unions. The Korean Migrant Unions was formed in 2005 by hundreds of migrant workers in South Korea to protect their rights. And despite a high court ruling to recognise the MTU in 07, their case is still pending at the Supreme Court because the government has appealed to it, and every leader of the trade union so far of the MTU has either been deported or facing deportation, including the current MTU chair, Michelle, who there is an international campaign to pressure the government to let Michelle stay in South Korea. And one of the things that the MTU does is actually organise for migrant workers. And just last month, a group of Vietnamese workers were arrested on the charge of engaging in legal strike while working in South Korea. Well, they were actually from the support of other workers, both in South Korea and overseas, they were found not guilty. So that's a fantastic win for migrant workers. So if you're interested in that story and want to know how to send an appeal and look at the petition that is going around, go to AWL's website.
Our last story for the week's news comes from New Zealand, where it's been fantastic to see sports jersey manufacturer Adidas getting a good kicking from Kiwi rugby league fans. Could be rugby union. I'm sorry, I'm not a rugby person, but anyway, rugby fans. Local Kiwi rugby fans are being upset at being charged up to $220 for rugby jerseys at their local sportswear stores, with even the Kiwi Prime Minister having his say on the matter. But part of their rage should be in sympathy for workers who, in some instances, get paid less than $1 an hour to make these shirts. Now, we know that for more than a decade, non-government organisations such as Oxfam have been campaigning against the appalling work conditions and low wages paid in Asian sweatshops by global brands such as Adidas and Puma and Nike.
And one wishes that those $220 were distributed equally among the workers who actually make those.
That's right, yeah.
But we can only hope, and we can keep organising and keep publicising the issues. So that was the end of the news roundup here for the week. There's lots of other issues that we could have covered, but we can't cover everything in 10 minutes, dear listeners. But if you want more details, you can ring AWL on 9663 7277 or drop us a line at aawl.com. at aawl.org.au, or go to our website, which is just aawl.org.au. But it's just on 14 past 9 o'clock. One watch says 14 past, the other one says 15 past. So it's about there. But we'll go to a community announcement here on 3CR Radio, your favourite community radio station. And we'll be back with Nick McClellan to talk about what's happening in Fiji and the state of union rights.
Help 3CR support the diverse voices in our community.
Hello and welcome to Earth Matters, environmental issues on community radio around Australia.
Right now, Voices is a program about housing rights for people with disabilities.
City Limits is Melbourne's only hour devoted to our urban environment.
Wayward Girls, Wicked Women on 3CR.
Become a 3CR subscriber this February. Call us on 9419 8377 or go to 3cr.org.au. 3CR Community Radio, people powered radio.
Missing out on 3CR programs Yarrabug, Renegade Economics, Jump Cut, and Mafalda because you can't be with your ear to the radio at every moment of the day? Set yourself up to automatically receive 3CR programs by going to www.3cr.org.au and clicking on podcasts. The programs will then download onto your computer. With over 20 3CR programs now podcasting, you don't have to miss out on our diverse range of arts, community and activist programs. www.3cr.org.au, spreading those seeds of dissent.
You're listening to Asia Pacific Currents on Community Radio 855 on your AM dial.
And as I mentioned before, those community announcements, don't forget that if you like what you hear, you can always subscribe or donate to 3CR Radio. Fiji has been in the news again lately for very much some of the wrong reasons, and really about the new anti-union decree that the government of Bainimarama has recently passed, and have actually targeted some individual unionists. I've got with me Nick McClellan, a long-time Pacific activist. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Pierre.
How are you today?
Good, thanks.
Now, for people who might not actually have heard about it, can you give us a bit of explanation about this new anti-union decree and what does it mean?
Yeah, for some time, the Bainimarama regime in Fiji has been moving to silence critics, and particularly to break up the institutions that provide for collective action in the society. And we've seen that over time with the non-government organisations, with the church, the main Methodist church, certainly with media, with censorship laws brought in 2009. And now there's a real crackdown on the labour movement and the trade union movement, especially early in the period after the December 2006 coup. The Fiji Labour Party gave some tentative support to the military takeover, and indeed senior members of the Fiji Labour Party joined the cabinet in an attempt to improve the economy back in 2007. But they soon fell out with the military, and over time that relationship has been brewing where the military, who have senior officers positioned all through the public service and through key economic sectors, have been moving to crack down on trade unions and the trade union leadership especially.
Now, Nick, can you explain the timing of this sort of anti-union decree?
Well, it's come particularly after a series of attacks on union leaders earlier this year in February. Key union leaders were detained and beaten by soldiers from the military forces. Mohammed Khalil, who's president of the Sugar and General Workers Union, and Anil Kumar, who's vice president of that union, Felix Anthony, the secretary of the Fiji Trade Union Congress, were hauled in by the military and beaten, questioned, and so on. But key economic sectors are under significant pressure, and Fiji has one of the more unionized countries in the Pacific Islands. So sectors like tourism, like agriculture and sugar, and certainly the public service, teaching, nursing, and public service generally, have had strong unions. This is essentially a way of breaking it up. And as has been said, the government has now gazetted a new decree called the Essential National Industries Employment Decree, which essentially tries to break the collective power of unions within key industries.
And so you're talking about the key industries. So so does this apply to all industries or just government-owned industries?
Well, according to the decree, it's industries, and I quote, that are vital to the present and continued success of Fiji's economy or those in which government has a majority and essential interest. So it certainly applies to government-owned either state instrumentalities or industries where the government has a significant investment, and that's things like Air Pacific, the country's airline, which is co-partnered with Qantas as Fiji's national airline. But when you say industries that are vital to the present and continued success of Fiji's economy, that's a pretty broad definition. And essentially, the government in Fiji can declare any corporation or any sector as an essential industry. So it gives enormous arbitrary powers to the Attorney General and to other ministers in the government to essentially stop union activity in those sectors. And when you look at the list of things that are constrained, it's essentially designed to stop all collective activity. You can ban strikes, slowdowns, sick actions that can negatively impact an employer. Unions are banned from representing workers in collective bargaining outcomes. Existing agreements can be voided at the minister's discretion. And then any strike or lockout can take place only with the written authority of the minister. There's bans on overtime payments for things like weekend and work on days off, public holidays and so on, unless the employer agrees. There's a whole series of measures taken to essentially break the power of unions as they work. It's work choices plus, plus, plus.
Now, Nick, can you tell us about the charges against Daniel Urai and Dinesh Gandha from the Congress of Trade Unions?
Yeah, the president, Daniel Urai, who's the Fiji Trade Union Congress president, and Dinesh Gandha, who's with the Hotels Union, have both been arrested, and they're facing charges under the breach of the public emergency regulations. This is a central piece of legislation that has been used since the constitution was abrogated in April 2009 to control public life in Fiji. Under the public emergency regulations, it's illegal for more than three people to meet without a permit. And once again, this is arbitrarily used. Most people go about their business and can gather in groups, say at church or at sporting events or whatever, without the emergencies being invoked. But if opponents of the government do meet in groups of more than three, then meetings can be busted up by police or special branch or so on, and people can face arrest and detention for breach of these public emergency regulations. Under the PER, these regulations, also media censorship is imposed, and we've seen, particularly since mid-2009, there's been very strict censorship of the media. So many ordinary people in Fiji don't have news of what's going on from opposition voices. And it's, I think, one of the really key demands that the Australian Labor movement should be raising is the removal of these public emergency regulations, because they stop people organising, they stop people meeting, and they stop people debating the future of the country and how it should move forward.
As a final question, Nick, I think you've given a really good overview of the scope and the intensity of this law, and really you can only look at the law, these laws in totality as a total attempt to try to destroy the union movement in Fiji. So what has been the response both internally and overseas to these decrees and the Fijian government attempts to destroy the unions?
Well, certainly there's a lot of anger and concern in Fiji, and key union leaders have been standing up against the changes that the government's putting in place. Felix Anthony, Secretary of the Fiji Trade Union Congress, has been travelling internationally, even at great danger to his own personal welfare, to raise awareness amongst Australian and New Zealand trade unions. And indeed, there's some action with the TWU and even the ACTU starting to address the issue and call for action. one of the actions that unions are working is to protect their dues and finances. The Attorney General of Fiji announced he'd shut down the process which allows payment of union fees directly deducted for all public service workers, so teachers and nurses and so on. So there's a lot of organising on the ground, but there's a real need for international solidarity at the moment. And as I say, particularly for calls for the removal of public emergency regulations, which literally stop people meeting and which stop the publication of information that people can make the decision of the best way forward. This issue will come to a head in coming weeks. The Pacific Island leaders are meeting in Auckland in the first week of September for their annual Pacific Islands Forum meeting. And, Fijian unions and their supporters will be raising this issue about the way forward for regional support for the situation.
Thank you very much, Nick, for such a comprehensive account of what's happening in Fiji, and we'll certainly keep abreast of it, and we'll certainly publicise the need for more solidarity. So thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Pierre.
No worries. Cheers.
Being a culture vulture can get expensive, but if you're a 3CR subscriber, you can go to the movies, buy books, and purchase your favourite music at discount prices at 3CR subscriber discounters. Visit 3cr.org.au or call 9419 8377 for a full list of 3CR subscriber discounters.
We've got about 2 minutes to go here. It's 26 past 9 o'clock on Asia Pacific Currents on 3CR Radio, favourite community radio. And you were just listening to Nick McClellan, a long-time Pacific activist, about the terrible state of union repression in Fiji. And I did forget to say at the start of the program, thanks to the Solidarity Breakfast Show for another interesting program. Now, before we go, I've just got one announcement just to let people know that on the Friday 26th of August at 6:30 PM at Trades Hall, which is the corner of Victorian Lygon Street, Carlton, the Iran Solidarity Melbourne is having, in conjunction with the Committee for Solidarity with Iranian Workers Australia, will be hosting a public meeting to mark the 23rd anniversary of the 1988 massacre of Iranian political prisoners at the hand of the Khomeini regime. And this meeting will feature visiting international guest speaker and long-time left-wing activist Abbas Samakar, as well as local speakers who will share their memories of the Islamic Republic's prisons. So this is Friday, 26th of August, Trades Hall, corner of Lygon Street and Carlton. It's a public event, all welcome. So it's Iran Solidarity Melbourne. If you want more information, you can ring 0402 360 442. And that really brings us to the end of another program of Asia Pacific Currents, the weekly program of Australia Asia Worker Links. If you want to know more information, you want to contact us, give us a ring if you're in Victoria on 9663 7277, or you can go to our website www.aawl.org.au. And that's all that we have for today. Stay tuned to 3CR Ed. The Colony Association will be coming up the usual time at 9:30. But that's all from me, Pierre Morrow.
And that's all from me, Clancy Moore. Have a fantastic week.
3CR provides broadcasting opportunities for many women in our community, redressing the imbalance in the mainstream.
Hello and welcome to Stick Together.
Hello there, thanks for your company for another instalment of the Radioactive Show.
Welcome to Jump Cut.
Welcome to another edition of Alternative News.
Hello and welcome to Women on the Line.
Help support 3CR by becoming a subscriber. Call us on 9419 8377 or go to 3cr.org.au. 3CR Community Radio, part of the solution.
Thanks for listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online.